a contraceptive syndrome. You want to have peace of mind, and the only way to do it is to avoid all those things that cause mental disturbance. You say, no, I can't avoid that, but I must still have peace of mind. That's a bit difficult, if not impossible. That's the contraceptive generation, huh? I don't want a family, but I want this. I must have this and yet avoid the consequences. Avoiding of consequences. Can you help me in that? There is no such help. You can't have it. It's probably possible to some extent, physically or physiologically, not psychologically. Because in the case of the physical body, very often the sinner is something and the sufferer is something else. Take for instance eating. In the case of eating, the sinner is your tongue and the sufferer is your stomach or something else, the heart or liver or something else. But in the case of the mind, it is the mind that sins and in the mind must suffer. There is no second entity to which the consequences could be passed on. And so there is no, it's not possible. If there is no peace of mind, find out the cause and remove it. Stop it. You can't say, I must go on with it and you must somehow help me find peace of mind. You can't do that. Physically also it is really not possible. Sooner or later it will find you. Mm-hmm. But to some extent, for the time being, you can put the evil day off. You can eat a lot of sweets and then swallow a couple of some tablets or something and pretend that it has been digested. It has not been digested. It takes its own toll sooner or later. Or the two together might affect the kidneys. You can't cheat nature. But that is what we want to do all the time. Cheating nature.
Sometimes when you make a concerted effort to try and observe the springs of thought, and there's a lot of energy involved, seems to be a lot of energy involved in attempting it, that there is, once you finish some sort of sitting meditation or whatever, there is a rebound, some sort of reaction. The mind, away it goes again. Is that indicative of wrong technique or is it normal?
It's indicative of not wrong technique as such. The futility of effort, number one. And the effort is wrongly directed. That is what we were discussing just now. The same problem. There is a craving or a psychological disturbance. And you say or you think you are observing this internal commotion. And by tremendous observation or effort, you have stilled it. Right? That's the initial stage. Sitting meditation or standing meditation, walking meditation, doesn't matter. What has happened then? What do you mean by saying that it seems to have gone away? If they go away, why did they come back? They can come back. There is a possibility of their coming back again, of the whole thing arising again. But the probability is that you did not really attack them, attack the source of this problem, but merely turned away. When you are sitting for your meditation, you don't like bad thoughts, evil thoughts, right? And so, what do? If I don't want to look at her, I just turn away. Look at you. That is what we do most often, which is not a bad idea. I'm not saying that, and therefore, this should not be done. I don't want to look at her, and therefore I turn and look at you. But she has not gone away, she is still there. This often happens, and this is often recommended by great teachers. So I am not here to suggest that there is something wrong with it. But the problem is not gone. I turned away. Hoping that the problem also would go away, and it doesn't go away. And the effort is directed at looking at something which you want to look at.
Even a mantra or something.
The effort is directed at something which you want to look at. Because you want to look at it, you often create it. As I said a minute ago, this is the difference between the physical world and the psychological world. In the physical world, there seems to be an apparent independent diversity. In the psychological world, there is nothing independent. It's your own creation, your own enjoyment, and your own suffering, the same thing. It is not as though that I create, make some mischief, and all of you suffer.
But both are interdependent, physical and psychological.
Quite, that's another story. For instance, if I take a big hammer and break this wall, shatter this wall, I am the mischief maker, all of you suffer. But in the case of the psychological juggling that goes on, there is no such advantage or privilege. So, the mind itself is confronted by some internal obstacles or disturbances, and you don't like, the mind itself observes these wicked thoughts, and the mind does not like those wicked thoughts, and therefore it wants to observe some good thoughts or divine thoughts, mantra, and therefore creates these good thoughts, so that for the time being you are chewing those good thoughts and you say, ha ha, marvelous, fantastic, man, I am enlightened. All this game goes on within the sphere of the mind. The mind, not wanting to look at these cravings that arise, and shifting its attention to something else. For the time being, you have spent a very good half hour. Which is a good thing. I'm not saying that in itself is undesirable. Very good. But then, You turn and then that problem is still sitting before you. Now what do you do? If, on the other hand, using the same technique is not at fault, using the same technique, you come face to face with what you regard as a good thought or a holy thought, mantra. If you discover that this mantra is also made of the mind stuff, or that which I observe now as the mantra is the mind stuff, correct? You have nothing else within you. This is the mind stuff. But during the course of this meditation, you are coming face to face with this. And if you have, if you are contemplating a form of a deity, you can see the deity. And that deity is made of mind stuff. This is the mind stuff. Imagination. It looks very real. I can almost touch this deity. I feel I am seeing God. And I repeat the name of God. It's marvelous. I can hear this. I can hear the mantra being repeated. I can see the form of God within myself. But I know that all this is mere mind stuff. There is no God, there is no mantra there. Just mind. Mind, 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 mind. Then I open my eyes and see. I am seeing another thing now. I saw one thing a minute ago, which I knew to be imaginary, a play of the mind, and I open my eyes and I see something else. This is also a play of the mind. This way, the technique is still the same, but this way, it's possible that you will be able to solve the problem. That you will be able to live in this world surrounded by all sorts of things, temptations and threats. And realize that even these are more or less of the same validity as the figures that I experienced in meditation. Dream is a bit farther away. The figures and the things that I experienced in meditation. This is exactly the same as that. This has the same validity as that. If they were imaginary, these things can be imaginary too. If these things are real, then that was real. Then there is some wisdom, some strength to deal with the waking life situation without getting terribly excited or terribly emotionally strung. If this does not follow your meditation practice, the meditation practice is mere hallucination. There is no sense in it. Waste of time. Good. As I said in the beginning, for that half hour you didn't think of anything terribly bad. So, to that extent it is good. But it's not what it is meant for. Alright? I have followed up my morning meditation practice with this thing. Then the next time I see some people, I am able to deal with them in a fairly calm way. I mean, it's not all that simple. We shouldn't oversimplify all these problems. For instance, you can in your own morning meditation, suddenly come face to face with some hostility. Somebody insulted you, somebody abused you. And in that exalted mood during the meditation, you say, it doesn't matter. I'll hand all these things over to God. God, forgive me, it's all right. I'm not so terribly excited. I'm not offended. I can smile. Inwardly you are smiling in your meditation. This is one thing. And it is quite another thing to face the music here, now. If the same man calls you a fool in the presence of all of us, you may not react in the way in which you meditatively reacted in the morning. This may be slightly different. But with a little bit of stabilization of this practice, it's possible to reach that stage, which means that someone insults you and there is an annoyance creeping up your abdomen, and there you see it and stop it. You may even close your eyes for a moment and stop it there. Now, if you have reached that point, then two factors emerge. One, you have found the key to the discovery of this psychological disturbance. Two, you value the peace or the tranquility more than all these things called prestige and honor and things like that. This new scale of values itself acts as a sort of a light which keeps darkness away. Otherwise, the whole thing can, the whole process can be reversed and you can become the same old person once again. Because once the restraining hand of the so-called meditative mood is removed, the whole thing comes up. Because it is the same mind. The same mind that behaved in a certain way, which at that time you called undesirable behavior, and the same mind now behaves in a very saintly way. The mind is the same. It has undergone a transformation. It has changed its form. How long will it take the mind to take the older form? The same thing. It's not a transmutation of the substance, very substance of the mind. It is merely colouring. You dye your hair in one colour, and day after tomorrow you go to the hairdresser and get it dyed in another colour. If you pull the hair out by the root, then of course you'll have to wear a wig. You can't change the hairstyle anymore. When the transmutation takes place, then of course you are free. But we don't even know what it is, what this transmutation means. For the present, all that we are aware of is transformation, which is the mind was wicked some time ago, and that wicked mind has somehow been transformed into a good mind. Okay. And this goodness is valued. This is the most important thing, yes? That goodness is valued, and therefore the evaluation of this goodness acts as a monitor to preserve it, to protect it. But the moment that restraining hand is removed, that thing will come up again. The same mindset will turn into the other one. It looks funny, but as simple as that. You melt ice and transform it into water. It's okay. But it is still ice. When the temperature changes, this thing becomes ice once more. This is not an irreversible change. Any change, understand me, any change that takes place in the mind is not irreversible. Any transformation of the mental substance is not irreversible. What makes it look irreversible is the monitor. The thing that says, no, I like this, I don't like that. And therefore they said, Swami Shivananda used to say, be careful till the end. Because as long as the mind is there, it will come back, spring back to the old habit. That's not difficult at all. But one who tastes this inner tranquility or peace or whatever you used to call it, he values that more than all that one can gain in this world. So it's all right. I had a vision of God this morning in meditation, and I opened my eyes. I see these people, same thing. That was an inner vision, this is an outer vision. If that was God, this is also God. If this is dream, that is dream. If that is dream, this is dream. If that is imaginary, this is also imaginary. That's why all this japa and meditation and so on are performed mechanically, they do not have much of substance. And the core of the mind is never touched. The transmutation takes place when you do not stop with discovering the mind stuff, this is the mind stuff, but quickly and instantly turn back upon the observer and question, who the hell is the observer? You understand me? It is that observer who says right from the beginning that these thoughts are vicious thoughts, I don't want them. These thoughts are good thoughts, I want them. And hereafter I am going to be a good man and not a bad man. I am going to be a good man. I am going to not be a bad man. I am going to think only good thoughts and not bad thoughts. So I set myself up as a monitor to ensure that only good thoughts prevail and not bad thoughts. I is still there without being even looked at, leave alone understood. And as the good thoughts increase, which is a good thing, I'm not saying it's bad, as the good thoughts increase, the I also increases in stature and strength and viciousness. And a peculiar type of viciousness. You don't hit anybody anymore, you don't fight with anybody anymore, but within yourself is I'm God Almighty. And such a person, being egotistic, can become horribly vicious in an instant. Once you have acquired an enormous reputation for being a saintly person, you can do what you like. Yeah? You've seen that. I'm sure you you've seen this. Once you have acquired a firm reputation for being
good,
for being very good, you can do what you like. Because in the meantime, you have acquired a few followers who sort of hover around you for various reasons. And they will ensure that the critics are silenced by means fair and foul. Take for instance, you write to an Indian newspaper, not here, in India, critical of a personality who has been lionized, made a great saint and God and God Almighty and so on. They won't publish it. Because behind their back, they've got a whole library of books glorifying him. And you go there and tell them, look, this is true, this is a fact, I was witness to it. Yeah, nonsense. It's crazy. They won't accept it. So, once you have established a reputation for being a great man, holy man, you can do what you like, and therefore you will do what you like. If the ego has not been dealt with before that, before this happens, either you avoid becoming a great man, or if you have the misfortune to be pushed into the forefront, look at this and find out what determined all of this, right from the beginning. What was the entity that said this is good, this is bad, I don't want the bad things, I want to avoid all the bad things, I want to think of only the good things and do only the good things. What was it that determined this? And having abandoned the evil ways, what was it that sought to tread the good ways, good path? Me. Oh, who is me? And then and there, catch it. It may be easy for you to catch that at that time, because by definition, what is called the evil is more psychologically distressing than what is called good. That's the definition. That is, whatever causes mental disturbance, disturbs the peace of mind, is evil. And between the good and the evil is always more agitating, psychologically agitating. So, when you avoid evil thoughts and evil actions and resort to good thoughts and good actions, it is possible that the mind is in a better climate to examine further. But that opportunity must be utilized. When the mind is calm, go further and find out who the I is, me is. When that is done, then there is a transmutation. It's no longer transformation, it's a transmutation. From there on, these things don't make any sense to you at all. And therefore, there is no need to battle with the good or evil. They don't exist. Yeah, these words don't mean anything. Pleasure and pain don't mean anything. Because it's the same I, the me, that distinguishes between good and evil, also distinguishes between pleasure and pain, happiness, unhappiness and all the rest of it. So once that one is dissolved, then you are free. It is like juggling with water molecules and separating the oxygen and the hydrogen. Then of course there is no, it will never turn into ice, if such a thing is possible.
Divine love, this is not what is shared in the household. I know I've asked this before, but how common do you think any essence of divine love is in love that is shared in households, or families, and sisters?
From one point of view, all love, whatever the philosophers or the theologians might say of these, all love is a reflection of the divine love. All love. Not only all love, but even this is the manifestation of divine love. You call it gravitational force, but this is an attraction, isn't it? That's also divine love. That is what holds the whole universe together. Right? And now comes the but. When you say, I love my father, my mother, or boyfriend, are you aware that it is also part of this, of the divine love, or is there something, some other emotion involved in it? That's it. That is the problem. That is the problem. It cannot be both.
We don't realize.
It cannot be both.
To me, that's how I sort of feel.
You cannot be you cannot be a woman and a tigress at the same time. You cannot be both. It is divine love, but the awareness or the understanding is perverted, limited, distorted. And it is this distortion that leads to evil consequences. The divine love doesn't lead to evil consequences, undesirable consequences. It is this mental distortion that leads to trouble. It is not because of love, of this divine love, that you are jealous of someone else. Love does not lead to jealousy. Divine love does not lead to jealousy. But there is a little distortion which has also entered into this, created by the mind. The mind that does not recognize all love as divine love.
That would be like when I feel that essentially it would be a divine love, but it's like my emotions sort of feel like they're invading upon that. You know, sometimes it's a lot clearer, usually when I'm not with the person or I haven't been with them for a while, but sometimes after I've been with them I feel
I, he comes in.
Yeah.
I, he relationship. That's it. That is where the divine is lost sight of. It is not lost. Love is always divine. But the divine character of love is lost sight of when the I-he relationship, he is my friend. All the problems arise in the I-he relationship, he is my friend relationship, and not in the divine love. In the divine love there is no problem. The more the merrier. The more people adore my Guru, the happier I am. But the more people look at your boyfriend, the unhappier you become. See the difference?
Hari Om Tatsa.